Well, we're continuing our Fresh Starts series, and today we're going to talk specifically about church involvement. Throughout this series on Fresh Starts, the premise of the series is that as we begin a new year, it's a very appropriate time to reflect on how we can continually bring glory to God in our lives as we live faithfully to Him. We've talked about spending time in prayer. That's what we talked about last week, and specifically in 2015, being very purposeful in our prayer life. The week before that, we talked about reading Scripture, and we talked about being very purposeful in reading Scripture throughout 2015. Today, we're going to talk about church involvement. Specifically, we're going to talk about having a faith that is expressed through action. So what we'll do today is we'll look at several passages throughout the New Testament and one from the Old Testament about having a faith that is lived, that is expressed through activity, through action. There's a man named Rob Conrad. You might have seen this in the news. He's a former fullback for the Miami Dolphins. Just this last week, he went on a boating trip. He was going to go do some fishing. He went by himself, which is a huge no-no for going fishing, but that's what he did, just off the coast of Florida. He put his boat into a trolling mode. The boat was set at going about 5 miles per hour. According to the accounts, what happened is he had landed a fish, and as he was trying to bring that fish in, he went overboard. Well, the boat's going 5 miles per hour, and so he can't catch up with the boat. The reports say that he is, at this point, 9 miles from shore. His boat is going this direction. He's trying to swim toward it, can't catch it. So here he finds himself out to sea, literally all by himself. Apparently, he didn't have even a life jacket on in this moment. So what's going to happen to Rob Conrad? Well, we'll get back to that story here in just a little bit. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. When you think about faith in action, probably one of the passages that comes to your mind is James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Here's what James says there. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, it shouldn't surprise us at all that James says this in James chapter 2. If you think about the book of James, a primary theme in the book of James is having a faith that is expressed through action, through what we do. It's not about simply a verbal assent, but it is about action, about being a lived faith. And so James says things like your faith should impact your speech, the way that you talk about and toward others. It should move you to taking care of widows and orphans. Remember that from James chapter 1. True religion is this, to take care of widows and orphans. He talks about treating all people fairly, whether they are very wealthy or whether they are poor. It is important that you take care of those people, that you treat them fairly. James says, the Lord doesn't show favoritism to anyone, and you shouldn't either. He says that faith should move you to praying for all people, praying that God will intervene on behalf of people that are in need. And so faith is so much more, in James' estimation, what we see here in James, it's so much more than just something that we say, but it influences our action. It influences what we do. And so that's what we see here in James 2, 14 through 17. Faith is to be expressed through actions. As a matter of fact, according to James, faith that is not expressed in deeds, in doing something, is actually dead. It's not even faith. You think about his little example here about someone that is in need. brother or sister is in need, if someone just says, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, that person that is in need, after that interaction with the person that says, be warm and well fed, that person is still in need. Nothing has changed for that person. And so you might say the right thing, you might have all of the answers, but if it is not expressed through actually doing something, through providing that food, through providing those clothes, then you might have the right answers, you might say that you have faith, but your deeds don't declare that you have faith. We see this in Jesus' life, right? Jesus was about taking care of the people that were in need. When he understood that someone was in need of something, whether it was healing, whether it was food, Jesus stepped out and did something for them. With Jesus, we don't hear him just simply saying the right things, but he moved. He did something for them. In the same way, our faith should be expressed in action. As a matter of fact, if it's not expressed with action, James would call us to reflect on whether our faith is actually faith. Earlier in James, in chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, he says something very similar. He's talking about the Word of God here in James chapter 1. Notice what he writes here. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So as we study scripture, we discover what a God-honoring life looks like. But if we go to scripture over and over again and simply read it without it allowing it to influence our lives, to shape the way that we live, then we're no different than a person that looks in a mirror and just walks away and totally forgets what he looks like. We forget about what God desires for our life. And it says right in here in James 1:22-24, what God desires for us. He desires a life that is active, a life that cares for others, a life that sees those people that are in need and not just says, well, it'd be good if someone would help them, but actually to step out and help them. We think about Jesus Christ. Jesus in John chapter 1 is referred to as the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh, again, as we've already mentioned, was active, listening to people, caring for people, moving towards people. I remember in our young adults ministry back at the church I was at before this one, we had Bible studies on a regular basis. The group of us would get together. Of course, we had Wednesday night where we'd study scripture. We had Sunday morning. We had the two services on Sunday, and then we'd have a Tuesday night or Thursday night study. While we were studying one evening, the conversation moved this way. And as sort of a leader in that ministry, I'm kind of glad that the conversation moved this direction. I was involved in that conversation, but I wasn't the one that was leading it. And one of the people in that Bible study said this, you know, I feel like we study the Bible all the time. We're continually getting together to study the Bible. But it's not really shaping the way that we live. We are just continually coming together to study, but we're not doing anything about it. And I think that's very profound. We can continually study scripture. We can memorize it. We can have a habit of looking at the word on a regular basis. But if it's not moving us to action, then we're not allowing it to do the work in our lives that we need to allow it to do. A man named David Kinneman has done some research on church growth. He's written a couple books, one of them being known as Unchristian. One of the things that he noted about why young people are leaving the church is that they have seen their parents and the generations before them study scripture, be able to quote it, memorize it, but they haven't seen them actually live it out. So what they're saying is they haven't seen real faith demonstrated to them. Now, there are all kinds of reasons why young people are leaving the church, but Kinnaman points out that that is a major reason. They've got all the right answers, but their actions don't reflect their understanding of Scripture. Scripture moves us to action. Now, I mentioned that we're going to look at an Old Testament text. The book of Zephaniah, one of the minor prophets. We're just going to look at one verse here, Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12. Zephaniah, calling the people of Judah out, he says that. It says this: At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. As I mentioned, Zephaniah was calling the people out. He chastised them because of their idolatry, for their lack of care for the oppressed, for their arrogance, and for their total disregard of God's law. But notice what he chastises them for here in verse 12. For their complacency. They knew the law, but it wasn't influencing the way in which they lived, primarily expressed in action. And so it says that they were like dregs, which is like the residue or the scum that's left at the bottom of a glass when the wine is all gone. That's what they are. They're simply residue. There's nothing good about them. They're not full of who God is and what God has called them to. They think, you know what? God's not going to do anything, good or bad. And so they were complacent. We think about the dangers of the church. What kind of pressure is the church facing? Of course, we watch the news and we see what's taking place in our culture right now, and that disturbs us. We see what's taking place with groups like ISIS. We are concerned about politics at this point. We are concerned about the morality of our nation. All of these things should concern us. But perhaps the thing that should concern us the most is the complacency we see with so many Christians, both within this congregation and throughout the world. We're called to action. We're called to allow the Word to influence the way that we talk, the way that we interact with others, the way that we give, the way that we share, the way that we see the world. One of the greatest dangers for us is perhaps complacency. A story that we all know well, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. The story of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And in reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." So it's the Samaritan, the one who loved the man in need, who was the neighbor. He's the hero of the story. And look at the action language in this story. He bandaged his wounds. He put him on a donkey. He brought him to an inn. He took care of him. He gave the innkeeper 2 denarii to provide care for the man. The Samaritan was the hero of the story because he did something. He saw the man. He reached out to the man and he helped them. It would be ridiculous to think of this story going something like this. The one who showed the love, the one that was the hero, the one that was a true neighbor, he saw the Samaritan, or he saw the robber, or excuse me, he saw the man who was beaten. He stopped and he prayed for him. And he went on his way. Now, praying for him was good, but we know that that isn't what caused him to be the hero of the story. It's because he acted on behalf of the person who was in need. That's why he demonstrated exemplary faith. We think about Jesus. He cares for us today, just like he cared for people before. He is the one who has brought us rescuing. He is the one that went to the cross for each of us. He didn't just think about the cross. He didn't meditate on the cross. He didn't stop and think, you know, going to the cross would be a really good thing to do for all of those people that need rescuing. The truth of the matter is Jesus walked. He took on that cross. He extended his arms. He did it all willingly for us. His love was expressed through action. I love this story from Francis Chan about asking his daughter to clean her room. He said, "Upon asking my daughter to clean her room, I don't want her to come back to me and said, 'You know what, Dad? I've memorized what you asked me to do to clean my room.' Or she doesn't say, 'You know, I've learned clean your room in the Greek or the Hebrew.' Or I had all my friends together and we got together and we talked about what it would look like if we were to clean my room." He said, that is not obedience. Obedience is to actually clean the room. But I think what he's getting at is so important. So oftentimes how we treat God and God's call for our lives is simply to memorize it, to think about it, to pray about it, to get together and talk about what it would look like to actually follow Scripture, but we stop short of actually living it out. Faith, according to James, is expressed through action. If it's not expressed in what we do, then it's dead. It's not real faith. One of the main ways in which we express our faith is through church involvement. It's not the exclusive way in which we express our faith. It is one way that we express our faith. The Leander Church of Christ consists of several ministries and programs. What we have going on here as a church family is exciting. It's fun to be a part of. It's awesome to witness what God is doing through our lives. And we are confident that God is going to continue to work in powerful ways through us as we submit to His will. So here in just a few moments, we are going to pass out these church involvement forms. I know this is something as a congregation that we've done before, but we're going to do it again. The purpose of these church involvement forms is so that we can have more and more opportunities, ongoing opportunities, to express our faith through action. Back to that story about Rob Conrad. Not a professional swimmer, but the man just started swimming. He's out in the ocean. Eventually, he can see the Florida shoreline. It's dark at this point, taking him 16 or 17 hours to get to shore. One of the things that he mentioned as he was interviewed is that he could see the lights of the shoreline. And so he said he started swimming toward those lights, understanding if he could get to those lights, he would find rescuing, he would be saved. As a church, we have the opportunity to be the light. And this light, as people see it and as people find it, what they will find as they reach the light is they find safety, they find rescuing, they find salvation. Through church involvement, we have the opportunity to be that light in this community. Again, church involvement is not the exclusive way in which we do that, but as a community, as we work together, we shine brightly in this community so that people can see the activity of God and come to Him and find rescuing through Jesus Christ. So a few things that you need to know about these church involvement forms. Go on to the next screen. So we're going to ask that these involvement forms are due back by February 1st. So you have a couple weeks to work on them. As we leave the auditorium today, there will be some guys that will be in the back that will hand you hard copies of this involvement form. You need to know that the involvement form will also be online. You can find it on the links page of our regular website, or you can just type in leanderchurch.org/involvement form and you can go there and fill it out. For those of you who are ministry leaders or deacons or desire to be ministry leaders, on February 1st after the morning service, there will be a meeting right down here in front immediately following the service so that we can share some important details about this involvement form. Now, some questions that you might have. I'm already involved in a ministry. Do I need to fill out this form and mark those spots that you are? We would ask that please do that. This form is going to be an opportunity for ministry leaders to connect with people that desire to be involved so that we can have more involvement, so that we can express our faith through action. So you can either fill it out online or fill out a hard copy. What about age to fill out? Kids that are out there, if you want to fill it out, fill it out. If there's certain things that you want to be involved in, go ahead and fill it out. We were thinking the staff, we talked about it, maybe sixth grade and up can fill it out. You might think to yourself, well, I've been involved for 40 years. Why do I need to fill out an involvement form? Do I need to fill out an involvement form? Yes, please fill it out. Our hope is to have, I would just say, 100% of us here to fill it out. There's some guests with us here today. First of all, we're glad you're here. Should you fill it out? Why not? Maybe not. I know no compulsion here. So if you want to fill it out, fine, but here's the thing. We want you to be active in the work of God wherever you find yourself. And so if you feel compelled, whatever the word is, if you feel like you should fill it out, go ahead and fill it out. We'll need to have some conversations about becoming member and baptism and all those important details. And so for guests of ours, I think for guests, here's the message we want you to get. We desire to be a church that is active in expressing our faith in this community because we care about this community. We care about the lost of this community. So that's what you need to know about these forms. Elders, fill them out. All of us, ministers, fill out these forms so that we can be a church that expresses our faith in powerful ways. If there's anybody here today that has not yet put on Jesus in baptism, today is a great day to do that. We would love to assist you in that. We'd love to witness you do that. If you want to study more about what is baptism, who is Jesus, there are people in this congregation that would be so glad to study with you and talk with you about that. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this assembly, as we sing this song in a moment, you can come down here to front and let us know what's on your heart. We'd be so glad to pray with you or for you. There will also be elders that are available in the foyer. You can talk with them as well. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.